Okay.
Parshas Matos, Tavshin Ayin Tes.
Thank you. Okay. So a few things here we report. You note that the subtitle is putting your mouth where your money is, right? As opposed to putting your money where your mouth is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's take a look over here.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Us, we'll see. But this is obviously a good thing. Right, what do you call the challenge is put your money where your mouth is, right? You're saying, pay up, let's see, right? But here, the brush over here is going to be putting your mouth where your money is, right? In other words, we'll see. Okay.
Medaber
Moshe el Roshei Amatos of Nei Yisrael, Mozeh Adavar Shitziva Hashem. Right, the very beginning of the parsha talks about the Indian of Nedarim. Right, each kidor neder la Hashem we shav shul la sor yisor nafsho lo yachel dvaro b'chol kechol hayotze mi piv yaaseh. A person, right, takes a neder or takes a shvua, right, to create a something that previously was permitted to him, and now he's coming to make it forbidden to him, either through the process of shvua, the process of neder. Shvua ordinarily is where a person says, I'm not going to do a particular act, or I am going to do a particular act. And neder is where a person changes the nature of the object. In other words, from now on, let's say what he called pumpernickel is going to be like a korban to me, right? In other words, it becomes forbidden b'hanna. But this is the koach of dibor. Right? We're not going to get into the difference between shua and neder, though that's very, very interesting topic in its own right. But the idea being that here, this is the parsha where Moshe. Speaks to the Rashi Amatos, right? He speaks to the heads of the tribes, and etc. Tells them the parsha of Nedarim. They're in charge of it because they're the Rashi Amatos. Fasem says that the idea of the Rashi Amatos, a mater, right? A mater is what he called is a branch, right? But it's also the Rashi Amatos, right? The Rashi Amatos, the heads of the branches, they direct the branch, right? Just like you would equal if, let's say, you're noter atzida, nun tes hey. That means you're swerving, you're changing your vector, you're changing your direction, etc. So the roshei amatos, the heads of the respective branches of the Jewish people, right? They're called branches because they all branch off from the main trunk, which are the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Shvatim, right? Shevet it also means a branch even of a tree, right? The Mateh, they are the branches, and the Roshei Matos are the ones who are going to direct being recalled. That's why they're called Roshei Matos over here. They're going to direct everybody. People who are the biggest people are meant to instruct and to direct and to be in charge of this very lofty topic, what are called the usage of one's mouth.
What's the word for branches?
Right, what do you call it? Like a shavit ordinarily is what you call it, can be a branch. But the mater is also what he called. The idea of mater is the one really causes the direction. He's being mater the shavit. That's probably a better way to put it. He's being mater the shavit. He is directing the shavit, changing its direction or instructing its direction. Okay. So now it says, records, let's take a look at a few psukim over here, right? Psukim from other places, but that'll be useful for us in understanding the Medrash and the Sfas Emes on that Medrash. It says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, right? This is in Sefer Dvarim. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you shall fear Hashem. Oso Sa'avod, you should serve Him, right? Ubo Tidbak, and you should cleave unto Him. Uvishmo Tishaveya, and in His name you shall swear, right? Sfasemis is going to be here, but these are things that you need to know beforehand, right? The Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, right? You shall fear Hashem, v'oso savod, and you shall serve Him. Ubo tidvak, and to Him you shall cleave. Uvishmo tishaveya, and in His name you will swear. Chazal said, do you see that there? It says Dvarim Yud. That means it's in the 10th chapter, of Deuteronomy, right? And underneath it, it says Chaf, that means it's the 20th verse in the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy. It says Devarim Yud. No, up there. Okay, so everybody quotes it. So the Chazal say upon this, if a person has these qualities, right, that he says Hashem Elokecha Tira, and he serves Hashem, and Ubo Sidvak, and he cleaves into Hashem, so that person, right, and those are very general terms, right, that person has the right to swear. In other words, you can't be flippant about swearing. You can't be what you call casual about swearing. You can't be casual bechlal by the way you use your words, right?
What does that, take an oath to Hashem?
Yeah, take an oath, right? Swearing, what do you call it? I swear, etc. Right? I swear, what do you call it? This is true, I swear. That's true, or this is not true, or I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do this, etc. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah, there's a Pasuk in Yirmiyah, we see, we'll need this for the Medrash again that the Sfasemis is going to speak upon. Vinejibata, right? And what do you call it? And you shall swear, Chai Hashem. That just as Hashem is what he called, is the source of all life, he is the force of life, right, of everything that exists. Chai Hashem, by that life force, by Koviyakol, Chai Hashem, who is, you know, is the source of all life. Be'emes u'bemishpat u'vitztaka, right? If you'll swear, right, this is Yirmiyah talking about it, and you'll swear in such a fashion, be'emes, in truth, b'mishpat, in justice, u'bitztaka, and call righteousness, u'bitztaka, yeah. V'yizbarchu bo goyim, u'bo yishalolu. Right? Then the goyim will praise you, and they will, what do you call it, they will give you a blessing, and they will praise you. In other words, a non-Jew will say to his son, you should be like that Jew over there. Right? And that's talking about a person who's swearing the name of Hashem, and the qualities of his oath, or his oath is accompanied by these qualities in that individual. Be'emes, in truth, be'mishpat, right, God, in justice, who would stucco, and in righteousness, or giving stucco, even charity, yeah, but stucco. Okay. All right, the next pasuk we know is from Vahafta. The question is, will we even need it or not? It's a separate issue. Let's take a look at the Medrash. The Medrash says he's over here on our Parshas Nedarim. It says, "Vaydaber Moshe el Roshi Amatos Ish Yedor Neder LaHashem." The pasuk that we saw in record in the beginning of our parsha, right? The parsha of Nedarim, right in base, right? V'nishbata. Now the Medrash brings the pasuk that we just saw in Yirmiyahu. V'nishbata Chai Hashem be'emes v'mishvot v'tzaka. Amar lehem Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Medrash is speaking. This is the Medrash. Right, the Medrash. See, the title says Medrash. Medrash Rabbah, the Midbar, right? So at the end of the line there, it says, Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yisrael, Lo tiyu svurim, shehuta lechem lehishava b'shmi, afilu be'emes. You shouldn't think that it's carte blanche, you can really call just stam swear in my name, even in the truth. Ein atah rishai lehishava b'shmi, you're not permitted to swear in my name, Ela im kein, unless yeah becha kol amido se'el, unless you have all these qualities. Es Hashem Elokecha tira, right? V'oso savod, right? V'im atah mefane atzrecha l'torah v'lasek b'mitzvah se'en lecha avod acheres. L'chach ne'emar v'oso savod. Ubo tidbak. So he's referring back, he's saying this medrash is referring back to the pasuk that we saw in Devarim. That if you want to be able to swear, right, in the name of Hashem, so you have to have the qualities of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. It's not necessarily false, but you're not worthy to what you call to swear in Hashem's name. Right? You're not worthy. You're not worthy to swear in Hashem's name.
Why would someone want to swear?
He wants to prove something. He wants to say something is true, right? Or he wants to say that he's going to do something. He wants people to depend upon his words. He's taking an oath. But the only time that he can use an oath, right? The only time he can use an oath is if he has certain qualities. The first quality is Hashem Elokecha Tira. He should be in fear of Hashem. Va'oso Savod, back to the bold there again. Va'oso Savod, you should serve him. What does that mean? Im atah mefane atzmecha l'torah v'lasek b'mitzvah se'ein lecha avodah acheres. In other words, you, what do you call it? It doesn't mean that you, what do you call it, you can't work. That's ridiculous, right?
It means that you, the focus of your life is your avodas Hashem, right? And that spills over when you're working, or you're conducting business deals, or you're dealing with people, etc. It's all a function of your avodas Hashem. That's your only real avoda. In other words, I'm making a parnasa now, right? Because I need that in order to be able to, what he called, to be able to continue doing Torah mitzvahs and living my life a proper Jew, etc., etc., etc. But it's not like I'm living a disjoint life. It's not like, okay, like they used to say in Yiddish, was sugot is sugot and was to light. You know, what shayach to God, that's that business, and then this is the rest of the stuff. We're not living a schizoid life. It all has to be avoda, related to avodas Hashem. Okay, so that's the second thing. The first thing is Hashem lokechotira. A person should have yira of Hashem. The second thing is that his actions in this world have to be linked to avodas Hashem. Right? Ba'oso tavod ubo tidbak. Right? That's the third thing that's said in what he quoted in the Pasuk in Devarim. Bo tidbak, you should cleave to him. So what does that mean, cleaving to him? V'chiyochol adam lidavik bashchina. Can a person, as it were, yeah, be davik bashchina? Can he as cleave to the shchina? V'alo kvar ne'amar, says the Medrash. Ki Hashem elokecha esh ochlahu. Hashem is like an all-consuming fire. How can you cleave to something that's all-consuming fire? You yourself will be burnt up. So I can be nidbak. I can be davik bashem. Elolom lecha kol amesi bita l'talmid. Tamid Chacham, Shekore v'Shone v'Ose Prakmatia Maneu Menechosav Zeu Shneimer. I love Vosidvak. How is a person Dovig in Hashem? He marries off his daughter to a Tamid Chacham, right? To a Tamid Chacham, and he aids that Tamid Chacham, right? He aids him. What he called? If he's doing business, he would call. He gives him business opportunities, etc. Right, or gives him the first opportunity, what he called, when he's really to be able to make available to him, so that his parnasa should come more easily. So that's what he calls that. Those are the things that a person needs, says the Medrash, in order to be worthy to swear in Hashem's name. One, yira; two, avoda; three, cleaving to him, cleaving to Hashem. And how is that accomplished? By what he called, as it were, yeah, being mahane, giving benefit to what he called to our Talmud Chacham, right? With his money, with his services, etc. Right? That's what he called Mekayim Ibos Tidbak. Says in the Medrash concludes, Yimeshacha Kol Amidas Eilu Atorah Shaili Shava. Medrash concludes, if you have all of these qualities, you're permitted to swear. Vim Lav, and if you don't have all these qualities, you can't swear. Right? Why? Because your usage of Hashem's name is inappropriate. Says the Sfas Emes. Right? But Medrash, you see the Sfas Emes, the first Sfas Emes there. Tough Reish Lamed Gimel. But Medrash, when Yishvata, Chai Hashem, Be'emes v'mishvot v'tzaka. It's there, he quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we saw before. How can a person of flesh and blood lishava b'chai Hashem? How can he swear in what he called in the name of Hashem, who is the source of being for everything, for all existence?
What's the first question again?
How could a person, in other words, how can I swear in the name of Hashem? You're stepping in very delicate territory over here.
Like how?
Because when you are, let's say you don't walk into a room, right? You don't walk into a room where you've got a large cache of uncovered, highly radioactive material, right? You don't do that. That's a scary thing to do. If you do it, you'll only do it under circumstances where you know that you've got the proper, what do you call it, covering, right? And you hope that the covering will be sufficient because this is not regular x-rays. This is talking about highly radioactive stuff, right, etc. So too, mentioning Hashem's name, one can't be casual about it. You can't be casual about it. You're stepping into the source of your very being. It's like... It's doing something incredibly. It's like walking a tightrope over a chasm that's hundreds of feet deep. Rambam says that if a person says a bracha levatali, he's over in Losisa. Does that mean deraisa, drabbanan, whatever it is, but you've taken Hashem's name in vain? You know, you can't say Hashem's name, what do you call casually? Okay? So in any event, so he's certainly swearing, right, that just like Hashem is chai, just like Hashem is the source of all reality, is the true source of all. He is just as he is. So too the event that I'm swearing about that took place, or the event that I'm going to, the action that I'm going to do, right? Or my oath that something didn't take place. So too my words are true. That's I'm saying just like Hashem is true, right? So my words are true. So now that's not something you say casually. Only says the, what he called the Medrash, the person's got the qualities of Es Hashem lekechatira. I mean, it was based on the pasuk in Dvarim, right? Ubo, what he called so sa'avod, and you serve Hashem, and what he called bo tidbak, and you shall cleave to Hashem. You shall cleave to Hashem. And then the Medrash explains, well, how do you cleave to Hashem? It's a very flowery term. What does it mean, how do you cleave to Hashem? Yeah, he says, write to a Talmud Chacham, and what he called, and be mahane him, give him benefit from what he called, from your monetary resources. Right? Or make him, give him the ability to be able to do business more easily, etc.
So he can learn.
Right. Okay. So it says the Sfas Emes, right? We should watch our words. We should watch our words that we call. There's something also called Dvarim Betalim. Okay. We should watch our words. Okay. Well, you mit Hashem, thank you. We'll talk about this Motzei Shabbos until and bli neder. Fine.
That's the important thing of this Sfas Emes, is he's explaining to Hashem's name that he is. He is everything.
Right. So we know this from the Medrash. He's going to, as it were, elaborate on this.
Sfas Emes.
Right. He says, Rock, at the end of the first line here, I think. Rock. Be'emes, yesh lo l'chol davar chius me'Hashem Yisbarach. Everything has got in it. This is a Sfas Emes deck once again. Everything in it has the spark of Hashem's giving it existence inside of it. It's covered over in a sheath. It's covered over. We don't see it. We don't see the Dvar Hashem in the object or whatever it is, or the event, but it's always there. Umish yodeya zehetev, ve'ein lo chiyus rak mimenu yizbarach, hu eitzel emes leida ki v'yiskalku shor shachiyus shu echad nishra kol bli chiyus. Right? And a person's got to know that without, right, without this, he's got to know that without Hashem giving him life, at any moment, every instant, he isn't. So a person has to realize that in everything around us there is this nitzos, there is this spark of Hashem's will, and therefore it is. And a person's got to know about himself at any given moment that only because Hashem wills, therefore he is. Okay? V'zeh nosein yirashamayim. If a person lives life like that, that gives him yirashamayim. Right? Because he realizes that's his connection to existence. And the only reason, right, the only reason that a person continues to exist, or any, what do you call it, if he fails to recognize that, is only because Hashem just allows it to, what do you call it, to continue so that we should all have Bechira, and the person has the opportunity to fix his ways afterward. But otherwise, really, for all intents and purposes, right, you can't take a vacation from this. It is if I got a good person decides when he's 200 meters underneath the surface, he decides, what would it be like if I cut my aqualung, right?
So they bury him afterwards if they can find him, right? So too, really, that's the way it is, except that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it to continue, even though the person has detached himself because he wants to give the person the opportunity to fix his ways. So that's a person who lives in a state of Yerushalayim. Right? Give the person Yerushalayim. Ve'ein lo mokom bli yira shuchiyos kol gufo. Right? Person has to recognize that he has no existence. That's his goof. That's his perception of self. His goof. What he called without Hashem's will. And that his job description, a person who understands that person becomes a vehicle for Hashem's name in the world. Because he's in touch with what he called with Hashem's presence inside of him. So he knows he's carrying Hashem's presence. It's like a wand. It's like a magnetic wand. Right? And he knows he's carrying Hashem's presence in his midst. So wherever he goes and whatever he involves himself in and whatever object he comes in contact with and whatever experience he has, he is what he calls now trying to awaken, right, through, because he knows he's carrying Hashem's presence inside of him, because otherwise he wouldn't be, right? He's coming to awaken, right, the proper usage of whatever happens to be in that object, in that experience, in that relationship, etc. Because in everything is embedded Hashem's will. So in addition to this knowledge, a person has to do the right actions. It's true, there is such a thing, I'm a good Jew in my heart, right? But it's insufficient. It's insufficient. Because if I'm a good Jew in my heart, right? Right? But I'm not doing the actions, then what happens is the recall that sense inside the person, right, really begins to atrophy, for all intents and purposes. Begins to atrophy. Because I'm overwhelmed.
Wait, what's the attitude that's not good?
The attitude is that it records all from Hashem. But that means I have to be doing Hashem's will within the world as well. The right actions, mitzvos. There are no mitzvahs, no actions that the person is doing, right? So then the attitude doesn't make any difference. The attitude falls by the wayside. So you have to have the right attitude. That's your seichel. That's your nefesh. You have to do the right actions, right?
Why? What do we have to do actions for?
Because if you don't do the actions, what do you call it? Then because we're made up of both a spirit and a body, right? And since the body is so much more predominant at first glance in this world, then what happens is the spirit drowns, right? The spirit will drown.
Why do we have to do actions?
Because even that which you accomplish in your spirit will not maintain itself, because it'll drown, right? It'll drown in the physicality, because the physicality, etc., right? If the physicality is not sanctified, if you don't serve him, then what happens is even your mind itself drifts off into the world of imagination, right? Into the world of fantasy. It won't remain attached to those truths consistently. Every once in a while, maybe you'll have a flash of intuition, right, etc. So not only haven't you not sanctified the goof, but even that which you try to accomplish in your mind won't remain intact. Right? So that's the tikkun of the nefesh and the tikkun of the goof. And finally, ubitzdaka hua ashirus. Bitzdaka, right? What did the pasuk say? You have to do, the pasuk in Yirmiyah says, remember, on the above, the pasuk in Yirmiyah said, right, v'nishvata chai Hashem, you swear in the name of Hashem, when you have the qualities of emes, right, and therefore your oath is what you call it, is built upon a foundation of emes, of truth. In other words, you have a healthy perception of the world, u'mishpat, right, and then you do the appropriate acts in this world. That's called what you call that's called mishpat, doing the appropriate acts in this world, using your guf,
right? To do
just
that,
like you said, the appropriate action,
right? Right? And ubitzdaka, what tzedaka? Tzedaka is who haashirus shuchutz miguf v'nefesh ve'eno nivra imo. A person is born, right, with a soul. He's created with a soul and a body. Wealth, what he accumulates for himself, right? I don't mean you have to be Croesus, right? You don't have to be what he called J.P. Getty, right? Of course, no one would call it anyway.
John Paul Getty.
Right? No one remembers him anymore. Whatever, you don't have to be what he called, have to be whoever it is, you know, what he called the biggest billionaire in the world to be an usher. An usher is what he called the money that you have, right? The money that you have, your assets. Your assets, right? A person's not born with assets, right? He's born with a soul and he's born with a body. And the assets are what he accrues afterwards. Shuchutz miguf, that's outside of both the guf and the nefesh. This is the way that a person, that's why it's remembered with such a strange thing. The Pasuk says in Dvarim, Ubo tidbak, you shall cleave to him. How are you supposed to cleave to him? He says, marry off your daughter, what he called, to a real Talmud Chacham, and what he called, and be of benefit to him, right? Be there for him, to aid him, what he called, in his business, from your assets, etc., so that he can devote more time, what he called, to learning. And that way you cleave to Hashem. How is that supposed to work? He says it's such an interesting thing, because you're taking something that's not intrinsic to you. In other words, your assets, they're not intrinsic to you. There's something that you added on to yourself. Since you're taking that and using it properly, right, etc., so now is a word just like you've taken something which is really beyond you, outside of you.
What?
Your assets. It's not your essence. It's not your soul. It's not your body, right? It's something outside of you.
Oh,
right? Right? And you've come, and as it were, you've taken something which is outside of you, and you've given that also over to the directional Shem Shamayim. Right? So therefore Hashem, who is what he called, who's beyond your capacity to cleave to because he's fire, right? Will step over that bridge. He will cross that chasm of difference and allow you to be attached to him. And it's just like you're taking something, right? Which is not intrinsic to it, it's extrinsic, it's outside, right? And you're giving that over to Hashem. So therefore, Hashem will take that which is what he called, which is separated from him, i.e., you as a physical being, and he will allow you to be in contact with him. Bo tidbak. Right.
Something external.
Right. The gimel hanal and these three things.
Some people might argue that their assets are also internal.
Okay. Every country.
That wouldn't necessarily that be equality of truth.
Again, it's a free country. You can say what you want. The Gimel Hanal, right? And these three things, and Gimel Matonah Shekos of Medrash Gabi Bnei God, Gvura Chachma of Osher. A fascinating thing he says over here.
That's
right?
It.
It's because the what if we look in the Chumash, right?
First of all, repeat. What does he say?
I'm going to explain. That's what I'm explaining. Right after the discussion of the Dorim, in Perek Lamed Aleph, in Matos here, becomes the discussion of taking vengeance from the Midyanim, right? Which we'll see in a minute. And then right after that comes.
Okay.
Comes what he called, comes the story. Of what he called of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, right? They had what he called. They what he called. They had a lot of they had a lot of cattle, right? And what he called and they had a lot of cattle, and they came to what he called to request the Moshe Rabbeinu that they received their portion on the other side of the Jordan, the other side of the Jordan. So it's interesting. First discussion of Nedarim, next the discussion of what he called the battle against the Midyanim, right? And in that discussion of the battle of Midyanim, it talks about where they, after they won the war, they went to take and give, right? To give of what he called, of what the booty that they brought back, they wanted to give back to Hashem. They wanted to give to what he called to Kodesh, give to the Mishkan. They wanted to sanctify it. Right, and then on that, but Moshe Rabbeinu, what he called, established what he called what a percentage is. Right, 1/500th, 1/50th. We will go to what he called. We'll go to Kodesh.
Was it 1/15th?
50th or of 500th. Yeah?
1/1500?
No, 1/50th or 1/500th. Right? What do you call it? They would give over to what do you call it to Kodesh, etc. And then right afterwards is the story of what do you call it of Bnei Gadim and Reuven.
That's the whole parsha.
I mean, it's what do you call it? It's pretty much. There's a discussion of what do you call it. Pretty much, yeah. So now, what do you call it? So let's just skip for a second, what do you call it, because it'll be easier. In the case of the story with the Minyanim, and they felt the need, as it were, they felt the need to give over money, right, to Kodesh, right? It shows that, what do you call it? It shows that's the proper way when a person sees that Hashem benefited him. And right, that's the discussion of the Sfas Emes here, the last Sfas Emes here, recorded on page 2 at the end. Recall when they realized that they benefited, recall in a supernatural fashion, they were successful in this battle. They felt the need to take, the thing that was most extrinsic to them, their success here, they got all this booty now. I have to give back to Hashem. I have to reestablish the homeostasis. I have to reestablish the balance, right? Between, I can't allow that this money, as it were, this success that I had, to what he calls to twist my head and turn my view of the world, etc., to think that I did it through my own power, my own. So therefore, they went and did the right thing. They did the right thing, and they gave over what he called to Hekdesh. They gave over to Hekdesh. Right after that is the story of Bnei Gadim and Reuven, right? And the story of Bnei Gadim and Reuven is unfortunately, right, where they made a mistake. So Asemis mentions here, right?
It's easy to tie the vengeance of Midian giving over their money and Bnei Gadim and Reuven is giving over their money.
Well, Bnei Gadim and Reuven, that was the problem. They were too focused on improperly focused on their money.
Just the opposite.
Right. So when he goes, you know, what happens is what he called. First, he got the Parsha Nedarim, and in order to be able to say the Parsha Nedarim, what he called
you need these qualities,
right? You need these qualities. One of those qualities is what he called to take what's extrinsic to you, right? To sanctify that as well. That was the idea. Both tidbuk, how you cleave to Hashem, is through what he called is through, etc. Benefiting a Talmud Chacham, right? Benefiting a Talmud Chacham. And the Sfas Emes says even if he's a bigger Talmud Chacham than you, if you're a bigger Talmud Chacham than he, the father can be a bigger Talmud Chacham than the son-in-law. But he's being mahana him, right? He's showing what he calls it's not about, who's bigger over here. It's the idea to give what he calls to disseminate, to what he calls to promulgate, to what he calls to broaden what he calls the field of Torah. I'm giving to him to help him make it better for him. Again, giving him better business opportunities or first business opportunities, whatever the case may be. Then afterwards comes the story of Bnei Gadim and Reuven, and there they failed.
Wait, you say they were being selfish?
Who, Bnei Gadim and Reuven?
I'm just concerned. How would you describe them?
So let's see. Let's take a look. Here in Bnei Gadim and Reuven. So first of all, the Sfas Emes and this Sfas Emes over here, right? It says, V'gimel hanal, the three things. Hey, matonos shekos of a medrash, gabe Bnei Gad u Bnei Reuven. Gvura chachma osher. He's saying what he calls that these gimel matonos that the medrash talked about over here, right? Which we talked about the idea of what he called of one's goof and one's what he called and one's when and one's one's soul and one and one's ashirus, right? We talked about what he called those are the three qualities a person needs in order to be attached to Hashem, in order to be able to swear in Hashem's name.
But it was wealth,
ashirus,
goof, the soul,
and wealth, ashirus. That's wealth.
That's the money.
Right, money. Right. So the what do you call it? These qualities we found with regard Bnei Gadim and Reuven. Now, it doesn't say it explicitly in the Medrash, but if we look in the Pesukim,
Bnei Gadim didn't have all these.
No, they did. They did.
They had wealth.
They had wealth. They had wisdom, and they had what do you call it, bravery, gvura. Gvura is of the goof, right? Gvura is of the goof, right? Wisdom is of the mind. Right? You think what he called that's what your seichel, etc., your chachma. And what he called and ashirus, wealth. So where do you see that? If you look right here in the bottom here in the footnote, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu gives brachas to what he called the end in Zosha Bracha, he gives the brachas to God. says, they were incredibly brave warriors, like Rashi explains over there. Mm-hmm. When they would smite their enemies, they'd rip off, what do you call it, their arm along with their, what do you call it, with their head.
Hmm.
Right? Right? It'll be one, like, wham, what do you call it, just slice the guy in half. And Rashi says they were incredible warriors. Right? They were giborim.
Just demonstrating their
strength. The strength, the goof, right, etc. Right? And then, they were, etc. Then it says, what do you call it, the next pasuk, it says, by the bracha of God, in Parshas Zosa Bracha, it says, Vayar, yeah, Vayar Reishislo, he saw the beginning for him, whatever that means, Reishis, the beginning, Reishislo, Kisham Chalkas Mechokek Safun, because there, what do you call it, is buried, is hidden, Chalkas, the portion of the lawgiver. So what does that mean? Says Rashi, what does it mean over there? It says it's an interesting thing. It says why did God want to be in what he called the other side of the Jordan, the land of Sichron? Because they knew that's where Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be buried. They wanted to be near Moshe Rabbeinu. So that means the head was screwed on straight. So the head was screwed on straight, right? We call the intellect. They were giborim, etc. They were giborim and fought for the Jewish people, etc. And they were ashirim. But because there was a flaw, right, in their attitude towards ashirus, their whole package fell apart. The whole potential greatness fell apart. Fascinating thing. The Medrash, I'm synopsizing over here. The Medrash says, this bottom Medrash here, on the bottom of page 1, says that why is the story of the Midianites and the, what do you call it, and the conquering of the Midianites and taking all the spoils, etc., juxtaposed to the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven? It says, to tell you, how did they become so wealthy with cattle?
For the Midianites.
And it was God arranged it for them. God gave them this incredible gift. But they became laden with so many flocks, so much livestock. It was a function, right? It was a function of what he called of the battle over the Midianim, which was an incredible, beyond the world of Teva, victory. And it says that what he called, that's the way Hashem, that's why all the terminology, the the Medrash says,
didn't other tribes take their cattle?
They did, but what do you call it? But they kind of read that. That's what they were. You know, they took that most. They took most of that. I don't know.
They didn't divide everything up equally.
No, what every person took, and then you had to give a tax to what do you call it, to the Hekdesh, etc. But whatever you took, you took.
Oh, did you just take it out longer? Everybody had free will what to take.
Don't know. Obviously, what do you call it, the Medrash says they became extremely wealthy in livestock through what do you call it, through that battle. And the Medrash says that's the whole nature of wealth.
What?
Is that it, what do you call it, Hashem just moves it around. The Medrash brings down what do you call it, that a woman, right? What do you call it, a fancy woman? What do you call it? A matron of one sort or another. Mm-hmm. Asked, what do you call it? Asked, who did she ask? Who's she asking? That's one of Tanoim. That's one of Tanoim.
So far, so good. Go ahead.
Rishim Chalasta. Rishim Chalasta. She asked, what do you call it? She asked him, well, how long did God create the world?
How long did it take?
Says, 6 days. So what he called, some day rested. She says, and what's he doing since then? He says, he's building ladders, right? He's building ladders and taking from one, right? Bringing up to one person and taking down from another person. In other words, assets are called kesef. They're called kesef because they are, what he called, they become hidden from one person and available to the next person. They're called zuzim, right? Zuzim. Because they zaz, they move from one person to the next person. That uses all these different terminologies, yeah, etc. Right? That all the names associated with money are implying that it would be called Hashem is moving it around, shoots and ladders, right? Going up, coming down, going up, coming down, going up, coming down, right, etc. So they should have realized that they were zochet to this in such an incredible fashion, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they were equal to, they had to be mekadesh it. But instead, they were more preoccupied with, you know, well, we have to take care of our assets, right? They were destined to receive that land on the other side of the Jordan. They were destined to receive it. And not only that, but they had good things in mind about receiving that other side of the land of the Jordan, because they wanted to be in the place where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. But because their attitude towards the money, what he called, that spoiled the whole business. That messed up the entire business.
By what?
By virtue of the fact that they were concerned with their money. Right? They were concerned with their money. They wouldn't think about the food because the fact that the money was a gift. When they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, they were asking him because they were focused on the money, as assets, and not as a gift from Hashem. And that spoiled it. And that's what happens. When a person, right, says the Medrash in the Sfasem, on page 2 here, this Medrash here.
So what, that spoiled one of the three assets?
Right. Right. And once, that broke, yeah, it's like the chut ha-meshulash lo b'meheri, you know, it's like a three-ply cord doesn't break easily. So if, they had their head, their thoughts were initially fine. The thoughts were fine. Their goof, they were brave warriors fighting for the Jewish people, that was fine. But because their relationship with their assets wasn't healthy, the whole thing fell apart. And that's why they went into Golis first. They were the first ones to go into Golis. Right? Because of that, that flaw.
Oh, at the time of the destruction.
Right, recall. Even before the destruction, they were sent into Golis. Let's just see. This next to last Sfas Emes here on page 2.
Then they had nothing?
Right. They lost. They got sent into Golis. Let's just see this last, next to last Sfas Emes over here. The Medrash, Gimel Matonos, right? What he called wealth, right? And wisdom and strength, right? Wealth, wisdom, and strength. Those are the three Matonos, right, that a person can have. If, says the Medrash, Bezman Shei Matnos Shamayim, when they are a gift from heaven, then they last. And when they're not a gift from heaven, they leave a person. Says the Sfas Emes. I've already written, says the Sfas Emes, that they were entitled to that portion on the other side of the Jordan. They were eventually going to get it. A person has to want that what he has in his physical world should be his, right? As a function of his connection to him, as a function of his connection to Hashem, through Torah and through Tefillah. He mentions Torah, but we'll see in a second, he also talks about Tefillah. Right? I don't want to live a schizoid life. I don't want to live, I'm holy, holy, holy over here. It's like what he called, like we mentioned once before, that Rav Moshe Feinstein, they asked him, why is it when they start teaching little kids Gemara, they start with Bar Metzia. Right? They start with Eil Metzias. When they start with Brachos? What about Brachos? Right? He says, no, because it's important that they should learn, right, that Hashem is not just in the shul. Hashem is also in what he called his monetary affairs. Everybody's going to get their portion, right? According to their mazel. The question is, if you want to attribute it to Hashem, then it's yours in a permanent fashion, right? It's yours in a permanent fashion because it's a function of your avodas Hashem, of your connection to Hashem. You've stamped it with the right thing. So the question is, what do you call it? Are you stamping on the bottom of the document that says you've got $1 million, right? Are you stamping on the bottom of it, me, by virtue of my efforts, or a gift from the Creator? That's what you stamp it with. Right? You're going to get what you're going to get. The question is, what do you stamp it with? What sort of signature do you sign at the bottom? A person should want it to stamp it with saying, I know this is a gift from heaven, and it should be mine by virtue of my connection, right, to living life through Torah. The Oz who Dover shall kayama, then it lasts. That's why a person has to daven. I bring in davening also, because davening is the great, what do you call it, the great koach to establish equilibrium, right? He says, therefore, right, person should be, has to mispal every day for his parnasa. Af mi she'ena mechusa parnasa. Not just a person whose parnasa is bedochak, right, when he doesn't have enough. He's got what he needs. He has to daven, though, for it again. Because even when he's getting, right, when he's getting what he's getting, but he has to stamp it with, I want it from you, Hashem, and I want to recognize this from you, Hashem. I want to recognize this from you. Help me recognize this from you. And I want it only record from you, right? And not to record that it should befuddle me, right? And think that, what do you call, oh, I did this to my efforts, or what do you call, my dumb luck, whatever the case may be. Ki ikar avodah shel lev zu tefila. Well, she'ein chasam adam. That's the ikar avodah shel lev. Not when you're missing. When you're not missing, and recognize that you only have it from Hashem. Etc. Fine. So we see, we saw what he called the Parsha of Nedarim, that a person, as it were, who can take Hashem's name is only a person who has the specific qualities, right? Right? As Hashem Lekecha Tira, to fear Hashem, that's the world of the mind, perception of the world. Also Ta'avod, and you should serve Him, use your goof properly. Ubo Tidbak, and you should cleave unto Him. How can you cleave unto Him, right? You can cleave unto Him only by what he called as taking the extraneous parts of your life and sanctifying them as well. Like it says, right, giving that, what he called, enabling a Talmud Chacham, right, to be able to, what he called, to spread his Torah, or to be able to have more time for his Torah, etc., by virtue of the fact that you're trying to benefit him, etc. We saw that the Jewish people, as it were, right, the Jewish people, as it were, did indeed implement this properly when it came to their success, what he called, against, in the war of Midian, when they had all the spoils, how they divided it up, right, etc. They meant to make sure to give to what he called, they wanted to sanctify it, they didn't want to be, as it were, overcome by their military success. And finally, they would recall the story of Bnei Gadim and Reuven, that even though they were people, what he called, with foresight, they wanted their portion to be in the place, Bnei Gadim wanted to be their portion to be in the section where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, even though they were brave warriors, right, willing to fight for the Jewish people, right, they were Giborim. But when it came to Ashirus, unfortunately, what he called, they didn't think in the right direction. And the very same thing that they would have gotten anyway, they spoiled it by what he called by thinking only in terms of what's this for me in terms of my money over here, rather than stamping it with what a matana, what he called, that Hashem, what he called, has given me, and what he called, waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to divide up the land. And anyway, they would have gotten the same thing.
Okay. Where is the muckle for the three qualities? Wealth, and gavur.
That was what he called. That's based on this pasuk here. Right, based upon the pasuk here, right? As Hashem lekecha tira, also ta'avod tira is yira, right? That's what he calls that's we call in your fear, and that's in your mind, your perception of things. Also ta'avod, you're serving Him. That's what your actions in this world. Ubo tidva, cleave to Him, right? That's what he called through what he called the ashir, is through your wealth. And also we find over here the same thing also in the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Pasuk in Yirmiyah is that what he called, you can swear if you have MS. Right, emes is what he called is that's your perception of things. It's an emesic perception. Mishpat are the actions that you do. What he called with your goof, you properly use your goof. And staka is what you give out on the outside, right? And to the outside, what he called the outside. That's once again your ashirus. So that's what he called where the medrash, right, learns it from, right, over here with regard to swearing. And Sfas Emes points out that has a unique connection to the discussion afterwards with both the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, and, right, even before that, the discussion of how the Jewish people properly dealt with their success in their battle against Midian and all the spoils that they took from that war. Okay.